Good morning. Greetings of peace and love. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Special welcome to all the visitors. Good to have you all here. Shall we begin with a word of prayer? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together this morning in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your love and your peace. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct me and all the rest of those who have part this morning. May you bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, for an opening scripture passage, let's turn to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table. Note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Calls the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel, that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a hill, of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. So my title comes out of verse 15. In confidence is strength. So I'd like to look at this word confidence a little bit, which is closely related to the word trust. Webster's defines it as the quality or state of being certain, reliance on another's discretion, or could you say reliance on another's protection, a relationship of trust or intimacy. What do you have confidence in? Where do you place your trust? Is your reliance on God? Let's look at this passage a little bit more. Here we have a rebellious people, a people that didn't place their confidence in God, but rather in other things, material things. Verse 10 says that they told the prophets to prophesy smooth things, prophesy deceits, things that aren't true. And in verse 12, it says, they trusted in oppression and perverseness. They trusted in their own wickedness. And in verse 14, it describes them that they will be broken as a piece of pottery, that there will not even be a piece big enough to take fire from the hearth. And verse 15, let me read that again. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. They didn't want to repent. They didn't accept repentance. They didn't place their confidence in God. But let's see what they did place their confidence in. Verse 16, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore, those that pursue them will be swift. They place their confidence in a swift horse. And then verse 18 ends with, blessed are all those that wait for him. Or could you say, blessed are those that put their confidence in him. So let's look at some other verses on confidence. You don't have to turn to all of them if you don't want to. Proverbs 14, verse 26. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Fearing the Lord and having confidence in him, there is a place of refuge. Proverbs 3, verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Do we trust that God will keep us and protect us? He will keep our foot from being taken. Psalm 118. Verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Where do we place our trust? We ought to rather put our confidence in God rather than in men, because men can fail us. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Do we place our confidence in the flesh for salvation, in our own works? Or do we place our confidence in the grace of God? Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. Confidence brings reward, the reward of eternal life. Cast not away your confidence. So I'd like to look at an account of some people who did not place their confidence in God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, beginning in verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? It seems the disciples here lacked confidence in God. Jesus said to them, Why are you so fearful? Why don't you have faith? Did they not see the other miracles, all the miracles that Jesus did? Why did they not trust Jesus this time? Why are we so fearful today? Is it not because we don't know how powerful God actually is? Let's turn to Psalm 104, some verses in there that I thought describe the power of God. Psalm 104, beginning verse 5, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou covers it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys, into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound, that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. Verse 5 describes how he made the earth so that none can destroy it. And then in verse 9, it's talking about the waters, the sea, how he made it in such a way that, he holds back the sea with his great power. He set a bound that they may not pass over. The other verse I'd like to pull out here is verse 19. He appointeth the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The universe designed in a very orderly fashion, all in 6 days. It was actually one day that he made the star heavens, I guess. The other account I thought of that describes well the confidence, the power of God, is the account of Gideon and how, through the help of God, he destroyed a great host of Midian with only 300 men. So God is powerful. We only need to trust in him to tap into that power. I have a story I thought I'd like to read that describes well the strength and confidence. And maybe y'all heard this story before, but it's set in the time of communism in Romania. The story of three men, Gheorghe, Petru and Nicolae. They were arrested in a prayer meeting, and they were being escorted from place to place, and now they were at a police station awaiting their fate. So just breaking in here, I tell you, he is not here. No, I don't know when he will be back. The officer's strong voice carried out of the building to where Gheorghe and his friends were waiting. There was a low murmur of voices. Then the policeman who had led them away in the doorway. He was followed by a short, beefy man dressed in uniform. I guess we will have to put them in the basement for the night, he said disgustedly, scorn tingling his voice. All this ruckus for a bunch of religious nuts. Gheorghe immediately saw the huge German shepherd dog that followed the officers out of the police station. Lean and muscled, the dog looked at the group of men beside the road. His lips lifted in a low snarl. His hackles rose, and he lowered his head. Bring them over here, the new officer yelled. As the prisoners followed their guides, the dog trotted close behind the police officer bringing up the rear. He stalked along behind them, a low rumble growl rising from his chest. Lord, Gheorghe breathed softly, deliver us in this hour. If you see fit to allow us to suffer for your sake, then keep us in your presence and strengthen us for whatever lies ahead. Then he shuddered slightly. The image of the German shepherd growling menacingly came vividly into his mind. God, keep us safe from the dog. Gheorghe's fear of dogs was common. In rural villages all over Romania, dogs were feared by most people, for they were used as guard dogs. Owners kept dogs inside the fence yard to deter thieves and unwanted guests. It took a brave person to enter a yard where a watchdog was on guard. Even the bravest person quailed before the slashing teeth of an enraged dog, especially a German shepherd. Gheorghe was almost sure that this dog was a trained police dog. The disciplined walk, the keen, watchful eye, and the bulging muscles all indicated a dog ready to attack any helpless person upon his master's orders. Though he could not see the dog, Gheorghe sensed him following along behind, walking in their footsteps. Finally, they stopped at some concrete steps. The officer unlocked a stout metal door that led down the steps. Get down there, he ordered. As the three men slowly down the steps, they heard the door bang shut behind them, and with a pronounced click, the lock was secured. A dim light shone on the steps from a grating beside the door. A muffled yet distinct voice sound reached them from the floor of the basement. It was the sound of many creatures moving about. Georgi's eyes became accustomed to the dim light, and from the bottom he peered into the dark room. He could see nothing. "Something is down there," he said over his shoulder to Petra and Nikolai. "Some kind of small animal or something. I heard it too," Petra said. "Is it rats?" "No, I don't think so," Georgi said slowly. "The movements are too slow for rats. I think it must be frogs or toads, lots of them." Their weary legs were quivery after the all-day march. The three men sank down on the cold, damp steps. For a while, they sat in silence. Hungry and weary, they did not want to go into the basement. The steps were narrow and not at all comfortable, but they were better than going down among the hopping amphibians that had claimed the basement den as their lair. The thought of trying to sit down among the hopping creatures was not to be entertained for long. "God is a very present help in time of trouble." It was Nikolai who spoke first. "I feel the trouble that is upon us about to get me discouraged. I know the Lord said he will never leave us nor forsake us, but right now I don't feel his presence." There was a brief silence. Then Georgi spoke up. "Brethren, we must not lose courage. There have been many before us who have suffered persecution for their faith. We know very well that ever since the church has been established, there has been a battle between the forces of evil and God's kingdom. Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and they could sing even after they had been cruelly beaten. We must not despair or grow." There was a sound at the door. A key was unlocking the latch. Then a powerful light shone in, blinding them. "Come out," a loud voice commanded. "The head police returned, and he wants to interview you." As they rounded the corner of the police station, the German shepherd, now chained, barked furiously at them. Georgi instinctively shrank back and went as close to the building as he could. The dog lunged toward him and was brought up sharply as he reached the end of the chain. Again and again, he charged toward them. Finally, they were passed and entered the front door. The sergeant sitting behind his desk did not look up as the three handcuffed men entered the room. He shuffled some papers on his desk and continued reading. "Troublemakers," he finally said in disgust. "You three men get together under the pretense of studying the Bible so you can plan subversive activity against the leaders of the church. You question the authority of the Holy Church and its priests. If you want to study the Bible, go to church to do it. Better yet, let the priest take care of your souls. This is his job, and you don't need to worry about such things. The priest gets paid to do that. Ignorant men like you don't know how to understand such a holy subject anyway." Georgi wanted to tell the officer that no man could care for his soul. He longed to tell this man that only Jesus Christ was worthy to do that. Surely the sergeant knew that many priests lived immoral and ungodly lives. It was not unusual for priests to stagger down the road to their houses drunk. How could such a person care for the needs of any man's soul? But Georgi held his peace. He knew it was not the time to tell this man anything. The sergeant was getting very upset. "What am I supposed to do with you? The police sent you all the way over here, and the report reads that we need to take care of the problem. You are the problem. You need to be taught to fear the priests and to be loyal to the Orthodox Church. I have no time to spend with you. I have more important things to attend to. It is already late, and I have not had my supper yet." For a moment, he sat quietly, then shoved back from the desk and strode toward the door. "I will teach you to fear," he muttered half to himself. The door closed behind him, and the lock clicked shut. Georgi looked at Petra and Nikolai and gave a long sigh. Then they waited. They were not left in peace very long. From the corridor outside the room, the furious sound of frenzied barking echoed in the hall. The snarling, barking dog was coming closer. It was evident to the three men that the German shepherd was being brought down the hall toward the room where they were waiting. "Lord Jesus, be with us." Georgi's prayer was echoed by the other two men. Nikolai looked around the room nervously. Georgi felt his heart thump rapidly in his chest as the lock clicked and the door opened. He looked in horror as the barking, frantic animal was pushed into the room. "Get him, Yersel. Teach these troublemakers what happens to men who cause disturbance." The sergeant urged the dog toward the men. Georgi closed his eyes for a moment. He dared not faint. The long day of weary marching was nothing compared to the menace that faced them now. He expected to hear the fierce bay of the willing dog attacking the helpless, handcuffed men. The sudden silence that filled the room was absolutely uncanny. Ursel's barking and growls subsided into a distressed whimper. The raging, barking dog, that snarling beast that had brought fear into their breasts, was acting strangely. He stopped barking, and the hackles that had been bristling in rage were beginning to flatten. "Come on, Yersel, sick him, get him!" The sergeant yelled at his dog. He could scarcely believe what was happening. "Get him," he repeated sternly. He snapped his fingers together and pointed toward the men. With a whimper, Yersel slunk low on his belly. He groveled on the floor in front of Georgi and sheepishly licked his shoe. He looked back toward the sergeant until the whites of his eyes showed. He whined and thumped his floor with his tail. "Yursel, come here!" The sergeant was infuriated. His voice thundered in the room. "What in the world is wrong with you? You act as though you are an untrained pup instead of an attack dog." In spite of the scolding, the dog returned quickly to his master. As soon as he could reach the dog, the angry sergeant bent over and struck the dog with his fist. "When I tell you to get him, I want obedience." In frustration, he flailed the cowering dog at him and hit him several times. "Now go in there and get him." With a push of his foot, he shoved the dog toward the silent group of preparing men. But once again, Yursel refused to attack. Again, he slunk to the floor and apologetically wagged his tail. He was clearly in distress. It was evident that something powerful was keeping him from obeying his master's command. It was something more powerful than all the previous rigorous discipline in the hands of skilled trainers. "You stupid beast!" The enraged sergeant came into the room and kicked the dog. With a yelp of pain, Yursel darted between the desks. The sergeant chased the whining animal around the desk several times, kicking and swearing at him. Finally, Yursel ran out of the room. With whimpers of pain, he scuttled down the hall. The sergeant breathed heavily for a few minutes, then stared at the three men. Suddenly, he turned and walked out of the room, slamming the door and locking it. Georgi could feel the back of his neck prickle as he relaxed. He gave a tremulous smile to Petra and Nikolai, then he sighed deeply. And the story goes on to say that then the next day they were released. These men, even though they may have been a little bit fearful, I believe they had their confidence in God, and he delivered them from this attack dog. Even all that, all the rigorous training that the dog was taught, I believe there was a stronger power keeping this dog back. In confidence is strength. Closing, I'd like to read Proverbs 30, verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Do we put our trust in God? Some people place their confidence in guns, the lock on the front door, or maybe it's the money in their bank account. Where's your confidence? Let's place our confidence in God, who is all-powerful, and don't doubt his ability to help in time of difficulty. May the Lord add his blessing.